This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Well, ladies, we made it to episode 120.
We did! Episode 120, season 11 wrap up. The wrap-up episode is where we reflect on the season we just had, discuss a little more about everything we learned, and share news with the listeners. So, ladies, where should we start? I gotta say, double whammy season. I really enjoyed doing a double season and make me want to do another one. But we won't, don't worry.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really fun to do 20 episodes this season instead of 10, albeit double the prep up front, but it was really fun to be able to pick more ladies for this season and have space to do a few two-parters, to dive deeper on some ladies, but not feel like we had less ladies overall in the season, you know? So I enjoyed it.
That's true. I did like having the extra room this season, you know? I like doing my deep dives, so I actually really enjoy doing two-parter episodes.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're fun.
They're fun. Double the episodes, double the stories, double the fun. I did. It was a lot of work, but I think it was worth it. I liked all the connections we made, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I also like the connections that we made throughout the season. The in-laws connection we had with Loya and Lily was so much fun for me. To get those two perspectives this season, it was enjoyable.
Agreed. I really liked that. And it wasn't just Lily and Loya. Like, there was a lot of ladies that were connected to them, like Ruth, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we had another Cranbrook season, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ruth Adler Schnee also went to Cranbrook and became buddies with the Saarinens and worked with Arrow later.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I also tried to do a Jessica when she had her Dorothy Doris season. I was going for Leanne, Lily, Lillian. But when we made it a double season, I decided not to invest any more time looking for three more Lees. I mean, I did, but then I stopped.
I mean, you were halfway there. You almost got it. one usual season's worth.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And it also gets confusing. So,
yeah,
I think you did great. So it was great.
Thanks.
It was great. All right. Y'all know the drill. Every season we do this, it's time to pick a favorite episode that wasn't our own. So, Lizzie, I'll have you start.
Okay. I really liked episode 117 about Barbara Stauffacher Solomon, because I loved hearing the origins of Sea Ranch and learning that she was part of the design aesthetic and like the branding of that community. So I really liked that one.
Me too. I so enjoy wayfinding and anything to do with branding. So I love stories where architecture and graphic design intersect.
Well, if you recall, you mentioned that that like graphic design was like career choice number like 5.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So Barbara, or Bobby, she was one of my favorite ladies that we did. But I don't know how y'all could pick. We had so many ladies to choose from.
Yeah,
and it's easy to forget the ones that we did in the earlier part of the season, too. I will say I liked learning about Gertrude Morrow and the San Francisco Bridge. I feel like she was on our list for a while, so it was great to finally like get her story out there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I liked our Cranbrook Cranbrook moment. Learning about Lily, learning about Ruth. I'm sorry, I think I put 3 names on the list. I can't take it. I can't commit. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I like the Cranbrook adjacent stories. And also, well, maybe Ruth goes a little bit higher just because I liked her partnership with her hubby. Because, hello, like, it's the partnership season. But the Saradins, I don't know. I can't decide.
It is so hard to pick just one because, well, for me, it's extra hard because there's so much to pick from and I get decision fatigue when I have too many options. I actually always prefer to have like 3 or 4 options. But anyway, if I have to choose one, I would go with episode 106, Isabel Roberts and Ida Anna Ryan. I enjoyed learning about the work they did together, how they faced struggles. I mean, imagine being a same-sex couple in the 1900s. Living together, working together, they were an inspiring couple. And as a side note, I enjoyed Jessica's made-up story of how they met. It just added to the whole cuteness of the episode.
Yeah.
That was a highlight for sure of the season.
That was fun. I would do it all the time. I'd love to make up stories.
Yep.
And I like to tell stories. I like all about storytelling. Okay. Made up and the truth.
Based on a true story.
That's right.
To someone.
Okay. Now it's time for our second game. So out of your own ladies, who would you like to third wheel it with?
Yeah, yeah.
Partnerships?
That's right. Teresa Gispert and Jose de Mesa for me, hands down. First of all, we would be speaking in Spanish, so that's already a plus.
Yeah.
And most importantly, I would be living my architectural historian life with them, working on documenting historical sites, teaching, running a museum, writing books. I'm all about everything they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. They went on some true arc ventures. But girl, you better bring your bug spray.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'll be ready. Bug spray, lotion, all the things. Also, they brought their kids along. How nice is that? I need role models of having a family and a career and still being absolutely cool. Yeah, they're it for me. Teresa and Jose, let's go.
Great answer. So similarly, I think it would be fun to third wheel it with Lin Huiyin and Liang Sucheng, because I think it would be so cool, like you said, to go and discover like old buildings, but in China in this case, and document them. However, I would like to skip all of the bugs and the travel woes that they had, but I suppose it would make it an adventure. But, you know, if I could do it without that, that'd be nice. But Okay, although I'm going to pull a Jessica and pick multiple people because I'd also love to third wheel it with Florence Yock and Lucille Council because they were like working on movie sets, traveling the world for inspiration. I mean, it sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that Hollywood life.
Mm-hmm.
But those were very different scenarios you just laid out. I think I see you more on the second. I mean, you already live that world traveler life.
I mean, I suppose they are quite different. Although, I mean, traveling to rural China, it still is world traveling, just less amenities, you know?
True. True.
Similar but different.
Similar but different. I will say, yeah, Florence and Lucia, that sounds more luxurious.
Sure,
the,
sure.
What's it called? The Jello Road?
Yeah, the jelly.
I mean, yeah. And hello, we're talking about Hollywood. You can, like, Fred Astaire, like, all the, like, Gone with the Wind, you know, all those people. Anyway.
It would be fun.
Yeah. For me, I would third wheel with the Smithsons, Allison and Peter. They were part of people's, maybe because, like, we're in the holiday season. Like, I'm talking, I want a party. They were shaking and baking and all the cool circles. I could also help Allison in her T10, like, record keeping that she did. You know, kick it to the man, a.k.a. Corbu, and his, like, annoyances. So, yeah, that would be my pick.
The Smithsons were one of my favorite episodes too this season. I always like learning more about brutalism.
Exactly. But I'm sorry. I'm going to pull a me. We can't forget about the Serenids. I'm going to third wheel them too. Because they also knew how to throw a party. Like, especially, you know, Loya and Eliel. Like, you have to reminder to check out our show notes because you could just see the fabulous costumes and outfits that they wore. Like, they knew how to have a good time.
Sure.
Make sure to check out episode 107 show notes for that.
Thank you.
Ladies, are there any clarifications or corrections that you need to make about this season?
One slight correction. In episode 115, Florence Yock, at some point in the episode, I accidentally referred to Florence's cousin, James Yock, as her nephew. I also referred to him as her cousin, so just clarifying that he is indeed her cousin, not her nephew.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't think I had any clarifications this time.
Yeah, me neither. What I do have is a lot of additional information to share.
Oh.
For me, I had a lot of stories where I just found way too much through my research, and I ended up, I'm not exaggerating, with 20-page scripts. So I had to edit a lot more than usual. I'll share more info on one of the ladies before I decided to make Anne Ting become episode 111 and 112, I was going crazy editing. A fun fact that didn't make it back into either of the episodes was that Anne called her dissertation Simultaneous Randomness and Order, the Fibonacci Divine Proportion as a Universal Forming Principle. What a name. Her papers live in the university's architectural archives, if you're so inclined to look that up.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, that title is very long, but it's catchier than some of the ones that we've heard on this show before. So
that is true. That is very true.
Maybe not high praise, but it's praise.
Yeah, that is high praise because sometimes those titles make you want to fall asleep. If you didn't know any better. But anyway, Simultaneous Randomness and Order. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I do, like, it's just that one part. Like, what? I love that we can find this dissertation and that we can read it. So, you know, we love a good archive, honey.
Also, a year later, she was selected to represent the United States in the first International Congress of Women Architects in 1976 that took place in Iran.
Ooh, interesting. That's really cool. We've talked about this Congress of Women Architects. It's nice to know that she was in that first one.
Yes, that's so cool. Way to go, Anne.
Another thing worth discussing about Anne is that in an interview, she described that the biggest challenge for women in architecture in 1989 was, in her own words, the psychological development necessary to free her creative potential. I'm curious about what you both think of that statement and if you think that has changed almost four decades later.
Interesting. I guess she's talking about the societal norms that we grow up with that make us think we can't achieve beyond a certain point. If so, I do think that's changing. I think there's still a lot of work to do within the profession to keep women in the profession and in positions of leadership. But I do think that there is more out there telling women that they can be part of this profession and that there is a place for them and they should take a chance on it and let their creativity out.
Yeah, it sounds like she is talking about women thinking outside of the box, to put it simply. But I don't think this is what she meant, but I think it's not for women only. The challenge is within the profession at large, seeing women in leadership roles, like Lizzie says, expanding design limitations. In the past four decades, we can definitely say that we've made strides, but there's just so much more room to grow.
Yeah. What did you think about that, Nergity?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm realizing I feel like you should also respond.
Yeah, since you posed the question.
I saw it more just knowing what she lived through. I was almost wondering if it was a little bit about owning her design and her own creativity and it not being taken away from her like hers was.
Credit giving, being given where credit is due.
Yeah, that's a little bit how I read the quote as well. But I think like we could dive deep into this. I think we each said something that resonates probably with either her intent or not. It gives you more to think about.
I could see why you took it out of the original script, though, because we would have a three-parter on our hands.
Honestly. I'm telling you, 20 pages.
There's a lot
scripts
to unpack there. Yeah.
There it is. Hopefully, we continue to unpack this little by little throughout our whole show.
Yeah. Listeners, be sure to write your comments on what you think that quote meant. And then maybe it'll be a whole charrette discussion.
It could be. Let us know. Send us an email.
Well, another thing that we mentioned in episode 118 was that we were going to find some translations of Hui Yin's poems and talk about them on the wrap-up. So we found a few poems, Bright Smile and You Are an April Day Incarnate. So, ladies, what did you think of the poems?
I only had a chance to read and think about You Are an April Day Incarnate. Even just that name, I found it so lovely and full of love, the way that she describes this person throughout the poem, and the fact that it's thought to be dedicated to her son, maybe. It just brought an extra layer of emotion for me. It really enticed me to want to read more poems of hers. And it was a quick read, like,
yeah.
I like those
short poems. Yeah, it was great. I read it during my lunch break, and I will say that it made it for like a lovely lunchtime read, you know, a little de-stress in the middle of your day. Because, yeah, like Nergity said, at surface level, it's very lovely. It's very calming. Like, it's very much giving like nature vibes, like some of her descriptors. Yeah, I did read that this poem could be about her son, like you said. But it also could be the death of Tsuchima, the man mentioned in her episode, the older gentleman poet that was like you know, could be a little, that was a little messy, if you recall. He was older, married, she was younger. Yeah, it got messy and I loved it. So I chose mess. I want to believe that it's about the star-crossed lover.
I'm still going to think it's about her son.
Were they star-crossed lovers, or did she end up with Su Cheng, though?
And I mean, how was who she was supposed to be with? But unrequited love. I don't know. What's that?
No.
I don't know. Maybe we should post the poem, and then we have the listeners vote.
Sure. Oh, we should. That would be lovely.
Right. Yeah, we'll do that. Because it was fun. It was, and they're short, like you said. It's great.
Yeah, what I like is that even though they're short, they're packed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can think about it for a long time. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something about like the nature connection of it too that it was nice, especially
it
like
resonated
on
with you.
Yeah. Because like you're, despite the fact that I don't like nature, but like I'm inside and like I'm in this stuffy room, but like the descriptions, it's like, oh my God, I could totally see myself in like this, like, actually to tie it back to what's it called? The Huntington Gardens that we went to, Lizzie. If you're in the Japanese, I know it's Chinese, but if we were in the Japanese section with the like willows and the like walkways and like all that's a vibe. Go to the Huntington Library Gardens, sit in the Japanese garden sections, read you this poem, that have a green tea, like lovely. Now that's the move. That'll be like, I could just imagine, that's what I pictured myself when I was reading.
Bonus this, points if it's in April.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Gotta do it. It was great. I don't know. It like, I felt so transported to that area because it was like soothing and calming and yeah, such a vibe.
It is funny that you love plants, but you don't like nature.
I was just about to say, when you say like, oh, it brought me to nature, I think of you and your plants.
I do. I love my plants, but I don't like bugs. I don't like sweating. I don't like the heat. I like sunshine, but I don't like sweat. It's like, I don't want to get dirty. Sometimes I don't like all the smells. The bugs give me anxiety. I don't know. It's just,
Well, yes, I agree with you though. All of her poems had a very strong nature vibe. Mm-hmm. And they all felt very optimistic to me.
Yes.
Or just sort of positive. Especially like the way she talks about spring and new life coming around. So I guess in that sense, it makes more sense for me that it's about the birth of her son and bringing new life into the world. So that's
or
kind
the
of,
death of her lover and the opportunity for new love. But hey, to each their own.
New love when she's already married with children.
Yeah, that's like, her new love. Her husband.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure. Okay.
Also, just a quick shout out to the Caryatid in that episode, who is also a poet. If you go, her poems might be harder to find, but she has published books like Our Lady. But if you read her work and read the criticism on her work, you'll see the connection between the two. Like, I thought that was like a really good pairing, Lizzie, between the both of them. Because she's also very nature vibey type. And even the aesthetics of her, because I think she's an artist too. It was great. So you guys should go back and check out that episode. All right. So another thing that I really enjoyed about our season that wasn't necessarily on Our Ladies, but it was about our charrettes. We had so many charrettes this season sprinkled throughout.
It was fun to do charrettes and like intersperse them through the season, especially the WIA charrettes for the exhibit, which we got to go see at the TXA conference. Mm-hmm. It was super fun to learn the history of that exhibit and the process of the new upcoming exhibit, and then to see the finished product. Plus, we got to present at the conference, which was very cool.
Oh, yeah, that was so great. Like, we talk about doing deep dives in our season, but it was great to do a deep dive with the charrette. It was a three-part series, and I liked that we talked about the past, the present, and like this current exhibition. Ugh, I loved all of it. And it was such a great way to like get us pumped, leading us up to being at the conference, in June.
Yeah, that was so wonderful. Not only to participate with WIA and do the charrettes, but also to attend and present at the conference. Like you said, our session was architectural herstory, the stuff you didn't learn in history class. I gotta say, for being at 8 a.m. on a Saturday after the president's ball, we had a good turnout.
Yeah, we did.
We really did. So thank you to everyone who came out and heard our session. We know it was very early for a Saturday, but we really had a great time presenting, and we loved hearing people's questions and feedback afterwards.
Yes, that 8 a.m. But yeah, it made us so much more grateful for all of you listeners. It was great meeting some of you in person. The ladies that worked in the WIA exhibit too, it was great to meet you guys as well. It was great.
Yeah. Speaking of, we got to meet WIA Austin Chair Alexandra Chavez and discuss a future charrette. Stay tuned. And we also met TXA's 25-year award winner, Jane Landry.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Icon. And boy, did she have stories. It was great meeting her. That was a highlight. Like, it gives you chills. Like, it was great meeting her and her daughter, who's also an architect. This is a good reminder for us. Like, as a follow-up, we need a follow-up with her because we really want to interview her and her daughter because, y'all, she got the tea. She knew Cornelia Oberlander.
Ran into her.
Yeah. So, yeah, within our, 15-minute conversation with her,
yeah,
we got a wealth of future charrette ideas. So, y'all better be excited for that. Speaking of charrettes, we had some amazing interviews, like the caregiving one we did with Kirsten at Gensler Austin.
Yeah, it was such a great opportunity to chat with one of the managing directors of Gensler Austin and learn about her efforts for caregivers in her office. It sparked such great conversation and a lot of ideas. And like Jessica mentioned, before the season started, we also interviewed Julia Pascuto. Such a great charrette. People, go listen to our charrettes if you haven't.
Now that the season is over, refresh yourselves. Also, we were guests on Katarina's podcast, From the Honeycomb. So that's another one that y'all should check out too.
Yes, that was also a really fun conversation. Oh, so many good interviews and going on other podcasts. It's been a good year. Yeah,
that's such a great podcast. Now that we're going on break, if you are caught up with us, you should check out The Honeycomb.
Well, as we near the end of the year, are there any life updates to share, ladies?
Well, I'd like to share that I'm currently the chair of the AIA Christopher Kelly Leadership Development Program, class of 2025. Which is CKLDP for short. And I gotta say, this is a position that I've enjoyed so very much, supporting this group of scholars and working alongside the rest of the amazing committee. It's just been absolutely great. I'm going to add a link to the show notes about the program, because if you are in the AEC profession in Houston and are looking to expand your leadership skills, you should learn more about CKLDP. Oh, and you know, to toot my own horn, I also got a presidential citation from the AIA Houston president, Melvaline McLemore, for our work with SheBuilds podcast and the efforts for CKLDP. As a side note, I learned that a citation is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yes. Citations can be good also.
Yes. Also, listeners, CKLDP, they have chapters all over the country. I just saw that they had one in Miami too. So, I don't know. I keep toying about it.
You should do it. Let's talk more about it. There's more than 10 committees. There's more than 10. So there might be one in your city. You should look it up.
Nice.
All right. So for me, I think at our episode 100 wrap up, I had mentioned my ambitions on purchasing my first home. Yay. I'm still in the thick of it. No home for me currently. I actually had several conversations today with mortgage lenders and realtors. I'll catch y'all up afterwards, ladies.
So that's crazy. Needs to say, I'm in the,
yes.
You're making moves. Updates.
I'm making moves. I'm in the thick of it. But I still, 2025, it's going to be my year, y'all. We're going to have a new address. That's my goal. That's my goal.
That's right. I love that energy.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. I don't think I have any major updates myself currently. I'm just looking forward to the holidays, seeing my family, and then getting to see y'all again in Puerto Rico for our friend's wedding. Puerto Rico. I do love that we've gotten to see each other so much this year. I really hope that we can keep that going in 2025.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, we still got plans for 2025, so we should sprinkle it throughout. Yeah. For the people that...
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, we're going to try to go to the AA conference, so for sure we'll see each other in June.
That's right.
Yep, that is true.
And
that
maybe we'll see you, listeners. Put it on your calendars. Hey.
Put it on your calendar. Tell us if y'all be there. We did a meetup there, which was great. So maybe we'll organize it again. So many things. Well, if you want to know what's going on, you know what you got to do besides listen to us, what you're doing right now, is that you got to check us out on our social media because, you know, we got the conferences, we got our hangouts. If you want to see what we're doing in January when we're in Puerto Rico, you want to see all the parranda and hangueos, you got to check us out because that's where we'll be posting it. Because if it's not on the gram, did you actually do it? I don't know.
Pixar didn't happen.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, we're excited to share the theme for next season. So, drumroll, please. That's what it says.
Next season theme is, who knows? We're still planning things for next year.
Yep. That's right.
For real.
You know what? Let's visit the Agora instead. Where we share news, small or big, whatever news, if it's exciting, we want to hear it. We want to share it. So here we go.
Right. Yep.
The Agora today goes to Mareli Morales for receiving her master's degree in construction project management from the University Fidelitas of Costa Rica. And let me add that she received an A+ on her thesis titled, get ready for this name.
Okay.
Formulation of strategies for the use of waste from construction and demolition and its reuse in social projects. Very specific. I know exactly what this thesis is going to be about.
That's true. That one was clear.
Yep.
So good job, Mareli. Also, it's her birthday month.
Well, congrats, Mareli. That sounds like a great thesis. That title was, it was long, but I knew what it meant, you know?
It wasn't confusing. Correct. It was to the point.
Yes, on point.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't a head scratcher.
We approve.
And it seems like a very, we approve. It's a pertinent topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You know, social projects, reuse. Love it. Also, happy birthday.
And we have a bonus Agora. 2 for 1. Ooh. Since we don't have a,
oh my God,
a theme,
like,
we're going to give listeners happiness.
It's also the theme of our season, you know? Double the ladies, double the fun.
Agora.
Double the Agora.
This double bonus Agora goes to Osman Herrera.
Whee!
Who has recently been approved by NCARB to take the AREs. This was such a long and confusing process for Osman, but is finally good news that NCARB approves his education and license in Costa Rica, so he doesn't have to take another like class or anything like that. He can move on to take the tests. I want to give a big special shout out to Nix Valerdi, Luis Herrera, and the group Latinos in Architecture Houston for their humongous help during this process. If you are an international architect trying to learn how to get licensed in the U.S., there's a great YouTube video put together by the Latinos in Architecture group from Houston. We're going to include that on our show notes. We're going to put a link to that so you can check it out.
Woo! Yay! Congrats to Osman. And I love that that group is helping people figure out how to get to licensure coming from other countries, because I know that can be a really, really tough process and really confusing. So I'm glad that people are helping streamline it.
Yes, agreed. Also, congrats to Osman. This is great. I think when we last spoke in October, he was in the process of it. And to know that he done made it, and now we got to give him the positive vibes and the good energy to pass through with those exams. But hey, he made it there, so he can for sure get there. So it's great. We love hearing these stories, listeners. We want to continue to share great news from you. So if you have news to share, big or small, it don't matter. We want to know, and we want y'all to send it to us so that we can share it with y'all. So why don't you go ahead and you can send it to our email at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Let's celebrate your accomplishments together.
They have a bunch of great shows, including Spaces Podcast, which we love. Gable Media is all about building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com.
Or you can also be a member of Gable Media in their little network situation. It's cool.
That's true.
Yeah, get in there.
Get some CEUs. You know what I'm saying?
Listening to our show.
Ooh, did you know you can do that? Because you can. All right. Well, anyway, let us know what your thoughts on our episode and of this season. If you've enjoyed this season, help us spread the word. Put it on your syllabi. Tell your friends. Tell your colleagues. Tell your partners and duos and your comadres. Tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. Tell them to write us a review. And this will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn more about these amazing ladies, learn about us, and learn about all the cool things that we're doing in this podcast world.
We're excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod.
We are going on a break while we develop season 12, and we'll be back in 2025.
Woo!
This is a great time to tell your friends about this season, buy us a coffee and some merch, re-listen to your favorite episodes, and start conversations about everyone you've heard about. So, this is not goodbye, just to see you later. Until season 12, adios!
Adios!
Bye! Bye! Season 12.
Yeah, right?
But I don't know when it's airing. Not in November, because we're in November.
Next year.
A whole year later.
In the new year.
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.